It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Countdown to impeachment.
I don't think the evidence is building at all. And I'm being sincere in this. I think the evidence is crumbling.
That is our top story at noon. A second week of public impeachment hearings will start tomorrow on Capitol Hill. Eight witnesses will testify over the next 3 days. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she'd like to see President Trump himself take the witness stand.
The president could come right before the committee and speak all the truth that he wants to take the oath of office, or he could do it in writing. He has every opportunity to present his case.
And the president could take up that offer. Mr. Trump today says he's considering submitting written testimony in the House impeachment inquiry. Republicans call the hearings a smokescreen and a political tool Democrats are using to try and reverse the results of the 2016 vote. Here's Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson.
We solve our political differences at the ballot box, not in the streets or through impeachment. And I think that is really the divide that is tearing this country apart. And that's what I'm primarily concerned about.
Democrats are expected to draft articles of impeachment by Christmas. A trial in the U.S. Senate would likely start in January and last 6 to 8 weeks. A new CBS News Battleground poll shows Joe Biden with the lead. Among Democrats in the race for the White House, the former vice president had been trailing Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. Pollster Anthony Salvanto.
We see 36% of Democrats, and in particular those not yet considering her, say that her plans would be too liberal to defeat Donald Trump. Only 6%, for example, say that about what they think of Joe Biden's plans.
In Iowa, the first caucus state, Pete Buttigieg has the lead. A football watch party turned deadly last night in Fresno, California.
There was about 35 people that were inside the house and inside the backyard. They were at a football party.
They were watching Sunday night football when police said someone walked up on foot and started shooting.
Thank God that no kids were hurt, because there are several kids and females that are in attendance at this party.
Fresno Police Chief Mike Reed says 10 people were shot, 4 were killed, all of the victims Asian men. Police still looking for the gunman. In Hong Kong, police using rubber bullets earlier today on protesters who barricaded themselves inside a university building downtown. The anti-government demonstrators have been using slingshots and arrows to fire gasoline bombs at officers. The university's president says,
"We have now received the assurance of police of a temporary suspension of the use of force under the condition that if the protesters do not initiate the use of force, the police will not initiate the use of force."
The communist crackdown has turned deadly in recent days as the student-led reform movement continues in Hong Kong. The CDC says it might know why so many people have gotten sick from vaping all across the country. The experts think the culprit could be a vitamin E additive.
This oily substance has been included in some e-cigarette liquids or vaping product liquids. It can look a bit like THC oil, and we think that it may be being added to THC-containing fluids to thicken or essentially adulterate the oil.
That's the CDC's Dr. Ann Schuchat. 42 people have died this year from vaping. A startling new report shows a lot of Americans today still do not have running water in their homes. Correspondent Vicki Barker.
Fill a water glass, flush a toilet. Everyday activities most of us take for granted. But an estimated 2 million Americans live without running water, indoor plumbing, or wastewater treatment. Some are in Appalachia, some on reservations, in rural Alabama, or in Texas border towns. The two nonprofits who produced the report recommend reintroducing census questions about access to sanitation and asking philanthropic groups to help.
That's Vicki Barker reporting. Still to come this Monday, massive fire in Hornell, minor league baseball in Binghamton, and Greek life suspended at Syracuse.
Good afternoon. We're tracking the risk of a little light wintry mix for parts of the area over the next 18 hours. I'll be back with forecast details in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Monday, November 18th, Syracuse University has suspended all activities at all fraternities after a racial slur was hurled at a black student over the weekend. Comes on the heels of racist graffiti that was found on campus, including a swastika that was drawn in the snow. Penn State will soon release the nation's first ever scorecard on frat houses and sororities. Only 55 colleges out of 400 nationwide submitted information for that scorecard, which takes into account the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to the Greek system on America's college campuses. Now to that fire in Hornell, New York, we first told you about earlier today. Still no cause. The massive blaze engulfed several homes in the Maple City on Sunday. 21 people were impacted. Kathy Tremaine could only watch as her home went up in flames.
I can't make sense. I can't concentrate. I'm just very, very upset.
Four homes were a total loss. Two more suffered significant damage.
I feel bad for all the families that are without a home.
One man was seriously hurt. His brother says,
now his oxygen levels and everything are at rock bottom. So he did lose all three of his dogs and everything for his newborn baby that is born in a few months.
The Red Cross helping out the victims of that massive blaze in Hornell, New York. Six people homeless today in East Rochester after a house caught fire there.
I went upstairs, I turned to the right, and it just instantly hit my face. It was really hot.
Shamir Caraway says he and a friend were changing a light bulb in the attic when all of a sudden the lights went out.
He went and get in the shower. I went in my room, but all of my lights were off. So I asked the lady downstairs to turn the breaker on, and she turned it on. All of my lights came back on and everything, and I started smelling smoke.
The home, a total loss. No one was seriously hurt. State police say a 20-year-old man was killed after a member of his own hunting party accidentally shot him in central New York. The incident took place Sunday morning on the second day of shotgun season in New York. Police say Joshua Morgan of Newport was shot in the woods in the town of Frankfort, about 10 miles east of Utica. The victim was pronounced at the scene. Some protesters at the airport in Buffalo yesterday. They were waiting to talk to Bishop Richard Malone upon his arrival from Rome, where he met with the Pope last week. But the embattled bishop was a no-show.
I'm not at all surprised that he did what he did.
Mary Ellen Sanfilippo, one of the protesters at the airport yesterday, waiting to talk to the bishop.
He is unapproachable to his flock. He'll perhaps run them over with his car, but he won't stand there and have a conversation one-on-one with us, and he snuck away from us.
Bishop Malone under fire for his handling of the priest's sex abuse crisis in western New York. There were reports last week from Rome that the bishop's resignation was imminent. The bishop downplaying those reports, saying he's not going anywhere. Several pro-life bills up for debate this week in the Pennsylvania General Assembly, both the House and the Senate, weighing measures that recognize the humanity of the unborn. One bill would ban abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected. The other would allow for the humane disposal of fetal remains in the event of a miscarriage. A rash of drug overdoses sent seven people to the hospital over the weekend in Ontario County, New York.
Thank God that we didn't have any deaths this time, but that's next. It's just the way it is.
Experts say dealers are mixing deadly batches of fentanyl-laced heroin in cities like Geneva and Cannandaigua.
The epidemic has not slowed down at all.
We have one after another after another.
Local law enforcement officials fear Governor Cuomo's controversial criminal justice reforms, which kick in the first of the year, will result in more dangerous drug dealers being released on the streets. New York State taking a closer look at how its first experiment with early voting went. The Democratic-led legislature will hold a hearing on Wednesday this week to gauge how early voting went. The Empire State introduced the new system in a quiet off-election year in order to have it ready for what promises to be a busy year at the ballot box in 2020. State Board of Elections says over 256,000 people cast ballots before Election Day between October 26th and November 3rd. It's still unclear what impact early voting had on turnout in New York. Another New York county taking legal action against the state's controversial green light law. Joseph Jastrzemski is the clerk for Niagara County. He says the measure, which grants driver's licenses to illegal immigrants, is fraught with problems.
Our lawsuit is based around the fact that there's no protection in regards to voter fraud. There's nothing that's going to prevent somebody that's in our country illegally from registering to vote.
Earlier this month, a federal judge upheld the green light law, which takes effect in mid-December. A quarter of a million illegal immigrants in New York expected to take advantage of that law over the next 3 years. Pennsylvania's minimum wage up for debate this week in Harrisburg as lawmakers return to the state capitol at $7.25 an hour. The minimum wage in the Keystone State, the lowest allowed by federal law. Governor Tom Wolf wants to increase it to $15 an hour over the next 5 years. Republicans argue if that happens, though, tens of thousands of Pennsylvanians will lose their jobs. The future of minor league baseball in Binghamton, New York, could be in serious jeopardy. That's because Major League Baseball is restructuring its farm system. It means 42 minor league cities will be losing their teams after next season, and the Binghamton Rumble Ponies might be moving to Brooklyn. Team owner John Hughes.
You'd have to ask Major League Baseball about their concept of betraying the people of Binghamton. He's been so supportive of the team. Why they would even think that that would be acceptable? There's not a lot for them to base their position on, really.
The Rumble Ponies have made $5 million in improvements at NYSEG Stadium and is set to host the Eastern League All-Star Game in July. Pack your patience if you're heading to Grandma's house for Thanksgiving this year, folks. TripAdvisor predicts a 5% jump in travel from last year, both in the skies and on the road. Spokeswoman Elizabeth Monahan.
Many folks are planning to extend that Thanksgiving holiday weekend as long as they can. So we actually found that Monday, December 2nd, will be a very busy returning day.
More than 55 million of us are expected to travel at least 50 miles from home next week, making it the busiest Thanksgiving holiday since 2005. The Food Bank of Central Pennsylvania, not accepting venison donations this year. It's because of concerns over chronic wasting disease. Last year, 20,000 pounds of deer meat was donated by local hunters. That food bank distributes venison to more than 1,000 agencies in 27 counties and says it has extra stockpiles to meet the demand this year. Well, the Bills get back in the win column. It is sunny time. Your two-minute drill.
Yeah, in Miami, the Bills looking hot. Josh Allen throwing for 256 yards and three touchdowns. Bills over the Dolphins 37-20. I'll take it, says Deion Dawkins.
A win is a win, and that W on the board, whether we won by 1 point or 100, you know, that W is a W by itself.
The Bills move to 7-3. The Dolphins drop to 2-8. Sam Darnold with 293 yards and four touchdowns. Jets demolished the Redskins 34-17. Jets head coach Adam Gase.
I think guys have done a good job of just refocusing on Wednesday when they come in and trying to get better that week.
Jets now 3-7 on the year. In Philadelphia, the Patriots top the Eagles 17-10. Eagles struggling on offense, says Doug Peterson.
Play better. We didn't make enough plays. I thought the defense really kept us in this football game for the most part.
Eagles fall to 5-5. On the ice, Patrick Kane scored in his sixth straight game. Blackhawks crushing the Sabres 4-1. Jack Eichel.
I don't think we extended our shifts in the ozone. You know, I thought we let them off the hook too much. Probably threw too many pucks away. Gave up possession.
At Homestead, the number 18 M&M call.
Kyle Busch is going to win his second Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series championship.
Kyle Busch said it was amazing. It
certainly is an amazing opportunity and
It's pretty special.
Busch won the title over Martin Truex Jr., who finished second. Eric Jones, Kevin Harvick, and Joey Logano rounded out the top five. NBA action, 76ers crushed the Cavaliers 114-95. New York State Soccer Championship, congratulations to your Class B state champions, Skinny Atlas Lakers, and your Class D state champions, Marathon Olympians. Runners up on boys action, Fairport Red Raiders, Greece Athena Trojans, and the Lansing Bobcats. Girls runners up, Fayetteville Manlius Hornets, Spencerport Rangers, Unitega Spartans, and the Avoca Central Tigers. Congratulations on a great season. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphia.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Monday edition of the Noon Report, another mass shooting in California. What's going on there? Kanye West and Joel Osteen hook up. We'll tell you about that one. And meet the 9-year-old who's feeding the hungry in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Everybody's got two parents, but did two parents have us all? A new paper is challenging the scientific skepticism about Adam and Eve. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. An oft-repeated claim by skeptics is that geneticists have disproved the possibility of Adam and Eve. Because existing human genetic diversity is so great, there can be no original couple from whom all people are descended. Or that's what we're told. Biology professor and author Dennis Venema summarizes this argument in his book, Adam and the Genome. In it, he claims, every genetic analysis estimating ancestral population sizes has agreed that we descend from a population of thousands, not a single ancestral couple. Well, some Christian authors have reacted to this apparent scientific consensus by proposing new ways of reading Genesis. The goal is to accommodate theology and the Bible to what we're told is settled science. But what if the science on Adam and Eve isn't so settled? That's the argument of a new paper by Discovery Institute senior fellow and developmental biologist Ann Galger and Swedish mathematician Ola Husher, recently published in a journal called Biocomplexity. In order to test whether it really is impossible to account for modern variation in human beings by starting with just two people, these researchers did something that, incredibly, no one had tried before. They started with just two people and then ran the numbers. Using accepted population growth and mutation rates, Galger and Husher programmed a computer to start with a genetic Adam and Eve and replicate the known distribution of diversity in today's human population. According to their model, a couple who shared some genetic markers could generate all the diversity we see today within about 2 million years, which Venema and others claimed was impossible. However, given two people who share no genetic markers, in other words, two people who weren't born but, say, were created with four unique sets of chromosomes, that time frame drops to a few hundred thousand, not millions, of years. Writing at Evolution News, Galger points out that further tweaks in the rates of population growth, structure, mortality, birth, and mutation could place that theoretical first couple even more recently in our history. In any case, the authors are careful to note that the point of their paper was not to date Adam and Eve or even to prove from a genetic standpoint that they existed. Rather, they just wanted to demonstrate that contrary to the oft-repeated claim, it's possible for all human beings to have descended from an original single pair. Of course, much more work remains to be done on the question, but the paper has served to clarify two things. First, the assumptions about the past that scientists bring to their research change their results. As Galger explains, once our limitations in computing power were overcome, this experiment was an obvious way to test existing dogma on human origins. But as she put it, no one bothered because they believed that starting from two was useless. In fact, many researchers failed to use standard methods of modeling population genetics because of baked-in evolutionary assumptions. For example, one popular tool relies on comparisons between human and chimpanzee DNA to track mutations, something Galger points out is useless if we don't share a common ancestor with chimps. Second, and more importantly, this paper hints at how tentative so-called settled science can be. Christians who rush to revise their understanding of characters like Adam and Eve in order to make way for the latest consensus should think more about the theological consensus they're tinkering with, like the fall, the image of God, original sin, creation, etc. And they should also consider all the untinkering they may have to do one day when the scientific consensus changes. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Coming up on 20 minutes past the hour, Monday afternoon, let's check that work week forecast next. Here's meteorologist Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. As the storm moves well offshore, it will help graze parts of our area with a little spotty light wintry mix through the day into tonight. No big storms are due, but on the other hand, sunshine will be rather a scarce commodity as well. For this afternoon, cloudy. And in spots, a little bit of sprinkles or flurries, even a touch of freezing drizzle into tonight. Temperatures spending much of the time this afternoon, tonight in the 30s or low 40s. Now for tomorrow, clouds will be rather stubborn, but any precipitation ends early. High temps near 40. And Wednesday will be mostly cloudy with high temperatures ranging in the lower 40s.
Okay, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here's some of the stories we're following for you today, Monday, November 18th. President Trump says he's considering submitting written testimony in the House impeachment inquiry. Here's correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
In a tweet, the president says he's strongly considering offering testimony, taking House Speaker Nancy Pelosi up on an offer she made on Face the Nation.
He has every opportunity to present his case.
Mr. Trump says he likes the idea, even though, quote, I did nothing wrong and don't like giving credibility to this no due process hoax. Last year, the president provided written answers to questions posed by special counsel Robert Mueller, though he refused to answer anything touching on allegations that he obstructed justice in Mueller's probe.
That's Stephen Portnoy reporting from Washington this afternoon. No arrests yet in another mass shooting in California. Four people died, six others wounded after a shooting at a backyard football watch party in Fresno last night.
Somebody came up on foot, possibly at least one suspect, and began firing.
Fresno Police Chief Mike Reed.
Three people died on scene, all Asian males between the ages of 25 and 30. One was critical, was transported to CRMC, where he succumbed to his injuries.
Police believe the shooting was gang-related. The suspect in a shooting at an Oklahoma Walmart is dead. Police declined to say if the person was one of three people found deceased outside the big box store earlier today. No other injuries have been reported. That shooting took place about 80 miles south of Oklahoma City. Tears and tributes last night in Southern California for the two students who were gunned down last week at a high school.
We must remember Gracie and Dominic for who they were, loving, selfless, happy young people.
The shooting took place last Thursday at Saugus High School in Santa Clarita, California. The 16-year-old gunman succumbed to his injuries over the weekend. A controversial pastor hosted a controversial musician at a Houston megachurch yesterday.
Now, I told you about my arrogance and cockiness already. Now, the greatest artist that God has ever created is now working for him.
The recently converted Kanye West spoke at Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church before an audience of some 16,000 people.
All of that arrogance and confidence and cockiness that y'all seen me use before, God is now using for him.
While in Houston over the weekend, Kanye West performed for inmates at two county jails. A new electric crossover vehicle from Ford has the look and the nameplate of the best-selling sports car of all time.
The Mustang feel apparent in both the styling and the acceleration of this small SUV. It has an electric range that in some configurations can approach 300 miles.
It's a vehicle that can make you want to have an electric vehicle, and you'll know it's a Mustang.
Ford Electrification Chief Ted Canna says the first Mustang Mach-E will hit the market late next year.
It's Jeff Gilbert reporting from Detroit this afternoon. We are coming up on 24 minutes past the hour this Monday afternoon. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
Welcome to Missions in Action, a feature that focuses on the work of missionaries who are delivering the good news of Jesus around the region and around the world. Today we're visiting with Don Rogers, missionary to East Africa and founder of Empowering Lives International. Don, go ahead and tell us the why behind the mission that you have in East Africa.
Tracy, when I went to East Africa as a volunteer, I was helping with some pastors in villages, and I saw one of these pastors whose son was so malnourished. It was heartbreaking. Mm. And I realized this man wants to reach his village. He wants to reach his nation for Christ. He did not have the capacity to feed his own family. And when I got back here to the States, it just continued to turn over and over in my mind and my spirit. We ended up raising some funds through some garage sales to help him get a fishing boat and a net. When I went back to Africa that next summer, he was not only feeding his whole family, he was employing seven others in the village. And
wow.
I was hooked. I started going back every year, doing some other small projects. The National said, we will take handouts. We would rather be able to support ourselves. And so that's why Empowering Lives International was started 24 years ago. We've since established training centers, two children's homes. We provide people with training and skills so that orphans and families can crush poverty, embrace Christ, and share their transformation with others. And it is exciting.
Wow. Now, are you working with that pastor?
He continues to be supported. We've since then expanded our work. We're now working with hundreds and hundreds of pastors.
Tell us how else God has shown up in that place, Don.
Well, there are so many people in the village that are suffering. Farmers, widows, orphans, and something happened just a few years ago. You see, the cause of so much of the poverty in Kenya and East Africa, it's tied in with a local production of a dangerous and an illegal alcohol called changa, which translated means kill me quick.
Goodness.
These women can make it in their homes using corn or millet. They ferment it, and sometimes they even add embalming fluid or methanol to make it more powerful. Sometimes they even kill people accidentally. So this illegal home brewing business, it turns their home into a brewing den. Their children, it turns them into neglected servants, and the police often come to raid the home. They imprison these women, but we were able to connect with 47 illegal brewers from one village. They came to our training center to learn an alternative business. And by the third day, they had all asked to surrender their lives to Christ. And a revival broke loose that we did not know was going to happen.
Wow, that is super. When they returned to the village, did they return to brewing?
You know, this is 5 years later now. 100% of them are still out of brewing. They're still following Christ. When they returned home, they began caring for their children in a whole new way. Their transformation was so real and evident that other people saw that transformation. We got a call from the chief the next month. He said, I have 53 more who want this same change. The next month, another village chief called us. I have 82 who want training. So as we talk right now, we've been able to help 1,372 families come out of brewing, and over 90% have given their lives to Christ.
What a huge change for the community. Don, what do you think is next as you minister there in East Africa?
Well, in a couple of weeks, 80 of these women are gathering for 3 days of prayer and fasting. They want to continue to see this grow. They're praying for partners who are helping support and pray for this movement. In fact, one governor who's seen so much change among 27 villages, that's about 5,000 people per village. He told us and the media that the approach that Empowering Lives is using, love instead of force, it's a gift from God and the main legacy that he's going to leave behind. There's a woman whose name was Ruth. She was one of the most notorious brewers. Her name was in the chief's office as the most wanted. She's now born again. She's a businesswoman, and she was elected as the village elder. And she told us, I used to be a notorious brewer. Now I'm notorious for Jesus. So this one transformed life is now influencing thousands.
Wow, Don. How can people learn more or get involved?
We have our website, empoweringlives.org. God has led us to a unique approach where people can sponsor a family to come to learn these skills. We don't give handouts, we give skills, and that changes the course of these families. EmpoweringLives.org.
That's Don Rogers with Empowering Lives International. I'm Tracy Lynn with Family Life News. How is the Lord guiding you to reach out to others?
Thank you, Tracy. Missions in Action comes your way Mondays during the Noon Report. You can also find it online anytime, fln.org/podcast. That's fln.org/podcast. Let's head to the Weather Center before we leave you this Monday afternoon, Mr. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. As the storm moves well offshore, it will help graze parts of our area with a little spotty light wintry mix through the day into tonight. No big storms are due, but on the other hand, sunshine will be rather a scarce commodity as well. For this afternoon, cloudy, and in spots, a little bit of sprinkles or flurries, even a touch of freezing drizzle into tonight. Temperatures spending much of the time this afternoon, tonight, in the 30s or low 40s. Now for tomorrow, clouds will be rather stubborn, but any precipitation ends early. High temps near 40, and Wednesday will be mostly cloudy with high temperatures ranging in the lower 40s.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Finally, at noon, meet the 9-year-old girl who raised enough money to buy 108 Thanksgiving meals and turkeys for families in need. Alex Fisher from Charlotte, North Carolina, proves you don't have to be an adult to make a difference.
I like it that we can provide food for Thanksgiving meals to family who can't have them.
Lisa Fisher says her daughter started raising money for the meals 2 years ago with the goal of buying enough for 10 families to eat.
She was like, one's not enough, let's do 10. And so we were like, well, 10's a lot. Why don't you see if you can raise some of the money to, you know, help pay for that food, just so she could sort of get an idea of, like, that food costs money, that it's not just a given for everybody.
But Alex Fisher had bigger plans, much bigger plans. With the help of her sister, she was able to raise enough money for the 108 Thanksgiving meals by setting up a lemonade stand and a bake sale in front of her house in Charlotte, North Carolina. That is the world we live in this Monday. As always, thanks for joining us. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.